Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This is Colosso Soprano.
Go!
The premier destination for soccer talk with Emmy Award-winning play-by-play man Dan Dibley.
Squirt!
And international soccer savant Rick Tittle.
Work it, work it.
Let's kick it off.
And just like that, it's another edition of Golazo Supremo. Golazo! The other one is goal, goal, goal. Like you're counting chimes. I'm like, oh, it's the 10 o'clock chime. Goal, goal, goal.
The soccer church tower.
Usually if it gets to 8, you know, it's a spectacular goal. And then usually it's goal.
Right, you have to have the little inflection there.
Yeah, you got to hit the high note.
The uptick.
Yes, so to speak.
Yeah.
But again, back together, Rick Tittle and Dan Dibley. Sponsor free, probably for the final time as we close in. We don't want to reveal the actual particulars yet, but we are efforting to bring in some good, hard-earned cash from some good people to support this, and maybe that will lead to a field trip someday, Rick.
Perhaps, yes, a field trip, and yeah, we need to have a good long talk after this because it's a someplace, it's an establishment. I'll just hint, I've been going to for over 30 years.
Outstanding. So, good people over there, and we can definitely lock that down. But in the meantime,
San Pablo McDonald's.
Shout out. The McFlurry coming soon, and stay away from the Shamrock Shake if I were you.
Yeah, do they even have that anymore?
I wonder. It's coming up on Shamrock Shake season.
Wow, I remember the Arbor Day McDLT. That was really bad.
Incredible. I remember Shamrock Shake gone wrong at the Petaluma Plaza McDonald's in Petaluma. But
that's ouchy.
That's for another podcast.
Yeah.
Rick, so much to talk about. I don't know where you want to begin. We got Copa del Rey semifinals going on, including one being played right now. Barcelona Madrid already in the books. We had an interesting week in the Prem, so to speak, with more action coming this weekend, and also some goalkeeper calamities for your side and mine as well. Where do you want to start, Rick?
Well, obviously, your Chelsea Blues were in the headlines. First of all, they got banned 2 transfer windows. It's funny, they're going to get banned 2 transfer windows, and they're still going to add more players than my Tottenham did, because Tottenham did not get banned, and yet the last person they bought was Lucas Moura in January of 2018. There's almost a self-imposed ban. Christian Pulisic is already a Chelsea player. He's been loaned back to Borussia Dortmund. So they're going to add Christian Pulisic, even though they're going to miss out on 2 transfer windows. It doesn't mean they can't not sell. I think it's all but a fait accompli that Eden Hazard is going to Real Madrid. This is what they're saying anyway. But then we had the situation in the League Cup final. And you saw at the end, Man City, how much it meant to them. Did you change your mind a little bit? Because I know you think it's kind of an also-ran cup.
It was a little bit more interesting seeing it at this grand stage when you've got 2 teams fully going for it. But the calamity with Chelsea, the goalkeeper waving off the manager as he tries to sub him out, that's almost a fireable offense on both sides.
Yeah, Kepa, apparently he made some remark about how his hammy was acting up, and they got Caballero ready for the penalty kicks, a guy who used to play for Man City who knows them well and probably faced them in practice many times. And then Maurizio Sarri and even Gianfranco Zola, the former Chelsea legend, they're screaming at Kepa to get off the field. He's waving him off, giving a thumbs up. And then after the game, the worst part was when Sarri said, oh, it was a misunderstanding. He castrated himself. If I played for Chelsea, I would have not one iota of respect for the man. He did go out of his way to make Roman Abramovich pay £72 million to bring Kepa in. It's kind of his guy. But I would have zero respect for him if I was a player on that team now.
The manager who got waved off by the goalkeeper.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's tough, though, because in that situation, the goalie obviously wants to stay in.
They all want to stay in.
But was he hurt to the point where his performance cost them that victory?
Well, I mean, as you saw, he did save one penalty, but another one went right under his hand, a soft hand. His only way out was to be a hero in that penalty shootout. And then you could say, you know what, you're a real SOB, but you know what, let's just forget it. We won.
Bring him in and give him a little noogie and say, part his friend.
Here, we're going to have a parade down, Kings Road in Chelsea. We're going to hold the cup up and everything. Everybody will be excited except Dibs.
Yeah.
But
they won't have a parade for a cup like that.
Oh, yeah, you do.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It's a huge cup. I keep telling you this. It's a huge cup. Look at the euphoric Man City. This is not their first rodeo in the last few years. You saw it. But anyway,
Did they have a parade down the streets of Manchester after they won the cup?
Not yet, but they will. Okay. In the main road area. They won't have it, obviously, over towards Old Trafford.
Of course. Yeah. That would rub their noses in it. We don't want to do that.
Right.
In this
they wouldn't be doing that. But I just think that I've seen this a couple times in my life. I saw it happen in Serie A one time. And a lot of people that don't know this until it happens is that the referees cannot make that substitution happen. They'll hold up the board. They'll check the guy's cleats to make sure there's no front cleat, like football. And they go, okay, you ready to go? Any earrings? No, okay, you ready to go? Guy doesn't want to come off, and he doesn't have to come off. But at that point, I would think you could either the player, as you said, either the player gets the sack or the gaffer gets the sack. And, I mean, at one point he started to leave. I think it was Jermaine Gina said, is he walking out of the job? You know, so it's what can I say? It's funny because I went on this English radio show a couple of days after that, and they were playing it off like it was no big deal. And I said, I don't know where I come from. That kind of petulance, that insolence, and it's just a matter of saving face. Like, even if the guy goes, you know what, my hammy's okay after all. Say, it doesn't matter. We've gone through these histrionics here of the change, and now you're making me look like a complete schmuck.
And at what point, though, does the manager then become responsible for that? Because you're right, the player ultimately makes the decision. And until he comes to the touchline, the substitution can't be made, even though the coach or the manager wants the sub until the player comes off. So for me, to put this on Sarri is misplaced.
Well, I think it's 100% Sarri. I'm Sarri.
Seriously.
They even named a board game after him and a song. I'm Sarri.
We're Sarri.
I'll tell you what, Dan, I would be on your side if he makes the sub and then Kepa goes, oh, no, I'm fine. Don't. And then he goes like this, oh, you're good? Okay, never mind. Go sit down, Caballero. But once he emphatically a vein was popping out of his head, Steve Kerr at Portland, once he went into this tantrum, ripping his jacket apart, throwing things down, and you've let this child win. And did you notice he didn't start the next game?
No, he didn't.
Interesting.
And that next game was against Tottenham, which is where we invariably will go next, because your Spurs can all but put a bow on their chances of winning the Premier League after a pretty unsightly 2-0 defeat at the hands of Chelsea. Pedro with an early goal, and then a gaffe, Trippier and Lloris and Trippier. In volleyball, we used to call it the old husband and wife play, when you served in doubles between the two players. And they both jump toward it, and then they both jump away from it, and the ball lands between the two.
Never heard that.
It's a classic
term
husband and wife.
Wow,
you know?
Never heard that.
No communication.
Wow,
because that's what
no communication.
It stems from no communication, because in volleyball it's all about I go mine, and then you bump set.
Is that a volleyball term, or is that like a Petaluma term?
What, the husband and wife?
Yeah.
Oh no, that's beach volleyball. That's Chris Marlowe, straight out of the sands, like sands to the hourglass.
These are the days.
Thank you. Manhattan Beach, Hermosa, all the pro tourneys, Chris Marlowe with the jargon there.
Yes, and it's funny, the two games since Kane has come back are both losses. Losing at Turf Moor to Burnley on Saturday kind of shut it. Now, they're done this year. As I've been saying in the last few podcasts, I didn't think they had a chance anyway, but now they have to concentrate. Luckily, they're in the Champions League, and they're sitting pretty for the second leg against Borussia Dortmund. But with all due respect, because I know you're a Blues fan, it always hurts more for me to lose to Chelsea because of my hate. And I've been to Stamford Bridge. First of all, it's like having a team called Beverly Hills, and everyone there is like Kardashian, Paris Hilton, or those like douchey frat boys with a sailboat, and they're all on their mobiles. No one's watching the game.
That's me to a T, by the way. Guy wearing sweats for the 84th straight day.
It's just such a plasticky atmosphere. I can't stand him. The thing about Arsenal, I despise Arsenal, but Arsenal and Tottenham are both in basically Oakland. I mean, they're both in the hood. There's nothing fancy about those. And I'm not saying you have to be fancy, but to have a team called Beverly Hills, and I just, and I've been to Stamford Bridge, it just has such an icky feeling. Now, of course, I'm super biased because I hate them, but after going there, it's just, I hate losing to Chelsea because it's just, to me, the douchiest team in the history of soccer. With all due respect.
Yes, no respect shown there and none taken. Certainly, Trippier, a great defenseman, but he and Lloris just basically spursing all over themselves. And it's what you've come to expect from Tottenham in the big moments where the lights are brightest. You get your star striker back and you look poised to actually do something this year in a league that's not wide open, but you could have stayed in the hunt. And like you say, you draw Burnley. And then
we lost to Burnley.
Oh, you lost to Burnley, and then you lose to Chelsea by your own doing, in large part.
You're preaching to the choir. I mean, I'm a lifelong Tottenham fan. I think maybe the Freisingers of the world that have come on board in the last 3 years, they might be like, "Hey, we're gonna win it." I'm like the jaded Cubs fan. It's like, nah. Wake me up when we actually win it. But there's an old saying in soccer: when you kick it back to the goalkeeper, even back when you could pick it up before 1992, you never kick it in between the posts. Mm-hmm. What if the guy falls down? Now, you can knee it, chest it back, but it's got to be soft. In case he falls down, he has time to recover. I noticed early in the game, both Chelsea and Tottenham were kicking pretty crisp passes back to Caballero and Lloris. But that one, to me, is 100% Trippier's fault. Because had he just turned and kicked it to Lloris, it's like, I thought you were there. And like, oh, you're both stupid. He turned, he looked up at Lloris, and he's like, are you coming for it? Then he threw his arms up in the air like, are you coming for it? I watched this 100 times because I'm a masochist. And then he turned and he put his head down, and he sees Lloris running out, and then he makes a super crisp pass right dead center. And I'm like, what are you thinking, you bonehead? So, Dan, let me ask you this. There have only been 3 Englishmen to score in a World Cup semifinal. Bobby Charlton, Gary Lineker, of course, and Kieran Trippier. Would you rather have that in your resume that you scored in a World Cup semifinal and then have the worst own goal of the new millennium? Is it worth it, or would you rather have neither?
Yeah, it's worth it until England is able to win the World Cup without you, and then maybe it gets diminished. But the run that they had this past year to get to the semi, and granted, you lost a very winnable match, in my opinion, against Modric and company.
Yeah.
And that's one you might be kicking yourself over because you really were that close, but you scored in a World Cup semifinal.
That's true.
And I think it goes to the conversation we had with Chris Wondolowski on this very podcast. It is Golazo Supremo, Rick Tittle and Dan Dibley, asking him about his greatest failure, which was being on the doorstep of knocking Belgium out of the cup versus being on the precipice of being the all-time leading goal scorer in MLS. He intimated that achievement far greater than the disappointment of the failure in the World Cup.
No, that's a great point to remember. By the way, shout out to the Quakes. I'll be down there Saturday, opening day. Brand new season. You couldn't have had a worse season. They were not just the worst team in MLS. They're one of the worst teams in the history of Major League Soccer last year. But they got the new guy in there from Chivas, Almeida, the Argentine. I'm not saying they're even going to make the playoffs, but right now they're undefeated, and 5:00 at Avaya, they'll be kicking it off, new season.
And our very own Chris Wondolowski stands one goal away from tying Landon Donovan for the most goals in MLS history, and we have asked him nicely to break the record at home, so maybe a brace in the opener.
Would love a brace.
And away we go. I do want to look at the Premier League table, and we'll talk a little Copa del Rey here in just a bit, because a very exciting fixture between Real Madrid and Barcelona took place earlier this week. Liverpool sitting on 69, Man City sitting on 68, each team with 10 games to go. It's got to be about as good of a race as we've seen in the past 4 or 5 years.
You would hope so. I mean, it's a two-horse race officially now, and everybody else will be scrambling to get into European places. I still think Liverpool's going to do it. I think about those 5 years when England was banned and all those great teams that Liverpool had. And even when they were let back in when Dalglish was there as the skipper, You had the Robbie Fowler team with John Barnes and Peter Beardsley, John Motson, and then you go to the Spice Boys eras with Robbie Fowler and Jamie Redknapp and Jamie Carragher and all that. I just kind of feel that this is their year. But then again, when you see the workmanlike attitude of Man City, and really one of the most, it's funny, yesterday I was watching the game at Maggie McGarry's, which is a Man City bar, and they're playing simultaneously. So every TV and the sound was cranked, and there were 50 Man City fans. I'm in the corner by myself watching basically a watchman. They had this little TV. You got to be kind of old to know what that is.
Right, of course.
A watchman of Tottenham with no sound. But, I mean, when you look at Sergio Canigaro, I mean, is there, since he's come into the league, he's been fascinating. By the way, I'll just throw a little tidbit, a little stat here, just to make maybe some Tottenham fans feel better. In 2013, since Christian Eriksen entered the Prem, no one has more assists. No one has more goals outside the box.
Yeah. Think yeah, you shared that last week.
Oh, was, I did.
It's okay. Repeat nuggets. We're both getting a little older with, you know, memory being what it
well,
is.
Well, and I always can go to CTE from the college football days.
Yeah, and that's a good stat nugget, though, and it's really an interesting one, to be sure. Man City, by the way, is at Bournemouth this week, and Liverpool on Sunday in the featured game, the late game, taking on Everton. Everton sitting in ninth, so that's an interesting one there, and Bournemouth sitting in 12th. So each of those sides with pretty good opportunities to at least get a point on the road.
Well, and you got to understand, too, that is going to make or break Everton's season. They're safe. They're barely safe. But when you play in that derby, and people don't understand, too.
Merseyside?
Yeah, if when you play in the Merseyside derby, you've got Stanley Park with two massive stadiums right next to each other. the blue or the red half of Manchester, you're either one or the other. And you can never, it's kind of like the big game. It used to be Cal and Stanford. Whoever stunk usually won and ruined the bowl chances. So, I mean, obviously you're going to fancy Liverpool in this. But I wouldn't discount what it means, because most likely their skipper's on their way out. He's going to be a one and done at Goodison.
And you mentioned Stanley Park, and you talk about the difference space-wise between the two grounds. Mm-hmm. Using Golden Gate Park as kind of the barometer, would you say one of them would be down by the Beach Chalet fields and the other one would be up by Sharon Meadow, 3-4 miles apart or even closer?
Yeah, no, closer. I'd probably say like go Kezar to like the Polo Fields,
okay,
maybe. Kind of like that. These are some super local references.
This is great. It's a podcast. We'll go as local as we need to.
And by the way, Goodison Park is on its way out. They're going to be building a brand new stadium at the docks. And most Everton, I've got a couple of good friends that are Everton fans, and from they're Liverpudlians. They're from there, and they hate to see Goodison go, but they know that it's a little bit old, and they're really gonna love the new park on the docks. Yeah,
29th match day coming up in the Prem, and you've got Spurs sitting third on 60 points, Arsenal sitting fourth on 56, coming off a very impressive win against Bournemouth, in which five different players found the sheet.
Mm-hmm.
Arsenal at Tottenham here, that's the early game on Saturday morning. How do you size this one up considering where the two sides are?
Well, that's just it. Tottenham are a bit of a rut right now. And the other thing we didn't mention about Turf Moor is that Mauricio Pochettino, the skipper for Tottenham, got himself in with an FA charge. I thought what he did to Mike Dean was not deserved, honestly. And I'm a Tottenham fan. He did not deserve that berating. The ball that became a corner that led to a goal, he didn't think it should have been a corner kick. It was a 50-50 ball. I watched it 10 times. I couldn't tell who it was off.
Glutton.
Yeah. Well, that one, I'm like, wait, should it be? And even if they get it wrong, it's still a situation where you don't want to blame the ref. You know, you lost to a team that ships goals, that's trying to survive. And it can happen. This is why I love the Premier League. But yet, on the other hand, I didn't think he deserved it. Sorry, I'm already 4 hours in.
No, no problem.
And I have no mic on-off switch.
No, if you throw your hand up.
I'll throw my hand up next
time. I can ride it down. I can get you down.
And then we'll get it ambiance through yours.
Yes, it'll be a little bit of a secondary audio. Yeah. Man U, unbeaten in its last five, sitting on 55 points, currently 1 point back of Arsenal in that Champions League range. Man U hosting Southampton, so many injuries yet. They continue to find a way, able to get it done with Romelu Lukaku and his two goals earlier this week. Despite the injuries, does Man U have enough to rise to Champions League level?
I think they do. I mean, they're Manchester United, for Pete's sake. And it's so funny how Big Rom was kind of an afterthought to that team. That's when you know you're deep.
Deep.
I mean, ask Belgium, ask Everton what Big Rom can do for you. And so they've kind of – that happens sometimes. I mean, that actually happened with Tottenham. I don't know how, why, or what happened, but Toby Alderweireld got doghouse for a while. And then he went to the World Cup, and he was basically the best defender on the Belgian team, he and Jan Vertonghen. And they go, oh, okay, we'll start playing him again. Sometimes you get those moments, but I think through injuries, they've kind of discovered that the big Belgie, he's there for waffles and chocolate.
Right, and the occasional playing time as needed. You look at the bottom of the Prem, and you've got Huddersfield on 14 points.
They're down.
Fulham on 17. Well, the dream lives for Huddersfield, coming off a victory. And they've got Brighton this week on the road at Brighton. You can't help but think if you can pick up string wins together, you never know what might happen. You do sit 13 points free of the clearance, and you only have 10 remaining, so you pretty much need to just about run the table. Fulham on 17 points. They've got Chelsea coming to their yard, and then Cardiff on 25 in the relegation zone. They're taking on Wolves, maybe the biggest surprise in the Prem this year.
I like seeing Wolves back again, all the fans up there in the black country at Molyneux. You know, you mentioned Fulham-Chelsea. Stamford Bridge is in Fulham. I mean, you talk about neighbors and two different spectrums of the soccer world with Craven Cottage and Stamford Bridge. But, yeah, I mean, it's funny. I remember the 1990 World Cup team that England had. They had one guy who was from the second division. They were all first division, or what we would now say Prem. And it was Steve Bull. He was the striker from Wolves. And I thought, that has to be pretty studly. When you're playing in the second division and you make the World Cup team, he was kind of like he's still probably their most famous player, to tell you the truth. But, yeah, we've seen, and I've seen it too against Wolves, they play almost this Catenaccio lock type of defense. And it's not just parking 11 guys in the box. They'll come up and meet you at the halfway line. They're a very well-coached team, and by a Brazilian, by the way. And they deserve everything they can get.
Currently seventh in the table, 13 points behind Chelsea, so really marooned, no chance for Europa, but still a strong performance in the return to the Premier League. Let's talk a little Spanish soccer, Rick. We've got the Copa del Rey going on, and right now it's a 2-2 aggregate Valencia and Real Betis. 0-0 in today's second leg, so the winner of that will get Barcelona, who dismantled Real Madrid 3-0 in the second leg. What do you make of that matchup? And they didn't even really need Leo Messi from Barcelona in order to take down Madrid.
I do think it was funny. I was talking to you. There was this picture of Modric pulling down Messi's jersey, and it said, here's the Ballon d'Or winner against the guy who finished fifth. Messi, the other day, with a hat trick, 50 hat tricks now. I mean, it's
wow.
Just how do you even get that scrambled into your head, the 50 hat tricks? But there is some majesty to that, and that's a double entendre word, because the Copa del Rey, the King's Cup, I think that's just a great thing to call it. One of my favorite names there is Deportivo La Coruña, the Sporting Society of the Queen's Crown.
Nice.
Just the tradition like that. But anyway, getting back to your question, listen, Barcelona, when they play Real Madrid, and you can call it, even if it's a cup match, these are all Clásicos. And it's just like I was talking about with, you think about your call with the Galaxy and the Quakes. They mean everything.
Right.
Even if it's just, well, it's 3 points, it's the middle of the season. No, for the fans, it means everything.
And you look at some of the players on the pitch, and you talk about Suarez, who had two goals. You've got Messi, Busquets, Rakitic, Dembele. You're talking about some of the greatest players in the world assembled for this Clásico. So even though Barcelona's not having the year that they would have hoped, and Real Madrid is going through its struggles at times, when these two teams get together, you can throw the records out, Rick.
I got to tell you. Yeah, I know. It's a little crooked.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little crooked. I remember the
crooked. I got to tell you, I'm not bummed at all that the Phillies got Harper. They didn't need him. I got
to
tell you.
How about that? After all that posturing,
he goes
to the place that he hates. He's still in the NL East. He's playing on a red and white team, and now the fans will hate him more.
Couldn't we have done this a month ago? But
apparently not. Mr. Boris didn't want that to happen. That's for another podcast.
Another pod, yes. For another day.
That's from Baseball Supremo.
Yes.
I forgot the question.
Barcelona sitting on 57, top of La Liga, and they were able to put the hammer to Real Madrid with Suarez getting the brace.
And Suarez might need braces because he bites people so much. Can you imagine the pressure of a team like Real Madrid or Barcelona where the minimum you can do would be to bring home the domestic cup? You have to at least get to the Champions League final. You have to at least qualify for the Champions League. I mean, anything below that is a disaster. So they need silverware. They need silverware on the Las Ramblas. I remember being on Las Ramblas in Barcelona, and a guy came over to me and he shook my hand, and I was so naive. I thought a guy was like saying, hey, you know,
welcome to Spain.
Yeah, bienvenidos a España. And I realized it was a homeless guy, and he just took a leak on his hand.
Oh, no.
So, yeah. So just
he got no pesetas?
I said, que flavor, limón. Anyway, so
I tore my MCL on Las Ramblas.
You
as
did?
A matter of fact, yeah.
All right, let's hear this
the
one.
The MCL.
Is this story time? Because we're going to do story time.
This
too.
Will be my contribution
right,
to story
it.
Time. All it right. was 1993. No, I'm sorry, 1995. I was in Europe for the second time. I was there with my girlfriend, mm-hmm. who eventually would become the mother of my children, my wife, et cetera, da, da, da. Mm-hmm. I was kind of just running around. I was pretty excited. I was 27 years old, and I went up this big brick mound. There was these giant brick mounds at the foot of Las Ramblas down by the water, and I was running up one and jumping off it and doing like parkour moves, so to speak. Light, very light.
Before we knew about parkour.
There's no parkour. This was called dicking around. That's what you did.
Just grab ass.
Yeah, full on grab ass. So I go up one mound and down the backside, and I try to do it again. And I miss my step, and my foot catches late, and so my knee goes all the way and hyperextends. And down I go, and so off to the hospital we go, because it's bad. The next morning
we... Tiene al hospital?
Well, this is funny you say that, because the next morning we go to the emergency in Barcelona, and neither my wife nor I is fluent in Spanish, and so she goes up there, and I have her do the talking, because I got no clue. Mm. And she walks up, and she goes, you know, hola, knee es mal, knee es mal. And the lady's looking at her like, what? And she's like, knee es mal. All of a sudden the lady's like, can I help you? Perfect English. I got treated, and the rest is just knee injury history.
Wow. How was the flight home?
I ended up actually sticking it out a couple more weeks in Europe. I had to go soft wrap for a week, and then gradually, you know, with an MCL, it just needs some time to kind of quiet down.
So soft rap is when Eminem doesn't swear.
Look at you. I wish I had some sort of sound accoutrement for that humor. It's really good.
Na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. Right, I'll tell a little story.
Please.
Because I'm taking notes, I write down. I've got a lot of weird stories. I did threaten in one of our previous podcasts to tell my Rivellino story.
Oh.
Rivellino, one of the great players of all time from Brazil. He played on the 1970 Brazil team, the greatest team of all time. He was part of the greatest goal of all time. So here I am working as a volunteer, 1994 at the World Cup at Stanford, with this huge tent next to Stanford Stadium, which was a terrible stadium for soccer because it had 8 lanes of track, but that's all we had.
Right.
So we would go to different stations, and because of my television background, I worked in the media center. And so one day... Rick, for the next 3 hours, you're in charge of all the faxes. Remember, this is 94, right? The internet. Yeah. And so it was hard because it would be like, you know, you would call and be like, woot, woot, pronto, mushy, mushy. And I'm like, no, don't answer. So here's Rivellino. He's now a reporter, and Brazil was based on Los Gatos. And so there are Brazilians everywhere. And he's walking up, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. The mustache, I'm like, it's Rivellino. I don't want to say anything. And he's saying, yes, I need to fax these to these numbers. So I'm like going.
Right.
Whoop, whoop. Tried 3 times, and he's going, He's like, oh, so frustrated. But here's the great line, I think, because I said. Now, one of the official sponsors is Canon, right? You know, the camera and fax company and everything. So it's real big. So this faxed is brought to you by Canon. And I said, I've tried 3 times. I tried both numbers, actually each number 3 times. So I've tried 6 times. Nothing is working. And he said, my friend, it is not your fault. It is Canon.
Canon is useless. We know in Brazil about Canon. Canon. No one buys Canon. I hate Canon. Not your fault. Canon's fault.
So now, whenever I see that word, I think, it is Canon.
So great. It's great. It's Golazo Supremo, Tittle and Dibley. Few more minutes. I wanted to get your thoughts on Panenka. The Panenka. And I'm sure you know what a Panenka is because we saw one in the Copa del Rey. It's 2-0. Luis Suarez comes in to take the PK instead of Messi, and he goes Panenka on the goalie, in which you don't go left, you don't go right. It's that cheeky little chip over where the goalie previously was standing. Is it disrespectful, or is it just pure genius?
Well, when Panenka did that...
Panenka.
For, was it Czechoslovakia to win the championship?
1976 European Championship. You are on point as always.
Yeah, and when he did it, they said, had that not worked, you would not have been allowed back into the country. That's what they told him. Listen, I would much rather be scored. If I was a goalie, I'd much rather have a Panenka go down like that than the guy who runs up and stops and then runs up and stops. All you're doing as a penalty taker is you're screwing yourself when you do that. Commit to your kick. Commit to it. And you want to go side netting. And you want a low, crisp pass. Don't think about shooting. You are making a crisp pass to the side netting that no goalie can save. But guys panic, and they think, I have to kick it as hard as I can. And they go right down the middle, and they hit it into row Z. But the Panenka, it is a cheeky move. But I can tell you, if I was the coach, and they did that, and it didn't work, you'd be running a lot of laps, son.
Yes, laps and benching. And like you say, the man Panenka himself would have been banned from the country formerly known as Czechoslovakia.
Yes. And by the way, when you're Dragons, if anybody tries something dumb like that, I'm going to serve underhand.
Right.
What do you do? What's the punishment?
If it works, you just turn, you know, you turn the other cheek. But if it doesn't work, then it's usually a stern talking to.
Okay.
A yellow card caution.
So it's like, you're Steve Kerr. Don't take that shot. Oh, never mind. It went down.
It's the old no, 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 yes. And that's kind of what the Panenka is like.
Yeah.
You know, you see the chip, and when it doesn't work, and few of them haven't worked. Neymar has one. Raheem Sterling with a failure. Graham Zusi listed among the Panenka failures.
Whoa, ZQ. And by the way, they should really build a statue to him in Mexico. Had it not been for that throwaway game, was it against Honduras, and he scored like in the 89th minute?
Right.
That put Mexico into the World Cup.
Next week, we'll get into the Champions League a little bit more. I believe the second leg of the round of 16 will be in the book, so we'll review some of those, and we'll look ahead to the other side of the draw as we get closer to Champions League quarterfinals, and the MLS is beginning. Pretty exciting time for soccer, Rick.
Yes, and hopefully next week, Golazo Supremo brought to you by...
Oh, don't say it.
And we'll say who it is.
And we will, and hopefully we will be clinking glasses in celebration.
This was a production of the 95.7 The Game Podcast Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.